while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I perceive, as I start there, I perceive that some of us, that just confirms the title of my message today, I will get to that, but I perceive that some of us are living under the burden of opinions. Under the burden of opinions, because of what you have done, or because of what you are doing, or whatever that you have not done or achieved. You are living under the burden of people's opinions. Your Christian life is in church very good, but when you go home, you are living under the opinion, under people's opinion, and you are not free. You are not bold in your Christianity. You are not bold anymore because people are always pointing fingers at you and saying and trying to highlight the things that you have failed to do, the areas that you have failed, and they are looking at you with that contemptive, contentious look. And so you are not able to exercise your Christian liberty, that grace that God has given to you. I don't know why I'm talking, but this is the way I feel right now. My brain goes at a halaboshada. People are like that. There are so many. I don't know you. You don't know me. So nobody has told me anything about anybody here. But I know that people are under that burden, that heavy burden of people pointing fingers at you for what you did wrong, for what they know you that you didn't do right. Maybe you're not living your life properly as a Christian, and people are pointing fingers. You are not free to be a Christian that God has sent His Son to die for you. You are under the burden of accusations. And that is because you don't understand grace. So this morning, the topic or the title for people who like to take note is Understanding Grace. Amen. Why is understanding so important? When something is meaningfully understood, it is retained much longer, can be built upon to acquire further understanding. And how does it help? Now, let me warn you, I'm a fast talker. And sometimes when the anointing comes, I talk even faster. So pardon me if I'm talking so fast. I can't help it when you get to that point. But first, within now, I'll try and be calm. Okay, understanding is crucial in a variety of reasons. It allows us to make sense of the world around us, to solve problems, and to make informed decisions. Understanding is the gateway to our hearts. Understanding prevents the devil from stealing from us. Grace releases you to be who you are. Grace releases you to be who you are. In Matthew chapter 13, there's a story there. He said, and he spake many things. Jesus was talking unto his about in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and a fowl came and devoured them up. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. The level of your understanding will determine what level your soil will provide. The level of your understanding will determine what level your soil will produce. Now, what am I saying? Those of you that are born in London, you don't know anything about planting and sowing. I'm not trying to belittle you, but just that's the society we live in. But in our societies where we plant, we understand the weather, we study the weather. We know what time of the year you can plant, or what time you can harvest. So if you go and plant when it's supposed to be harvesting, your crop is wasted. Or you're going to plant when it's rainy season has already come, your crop. So it is understanding that prevents you. It is what you understand that you hold on to, that you sell it, that you will add value to. And so understanding is very key. The only reason some of you are suffering, or some of us Christians are suffering under the oppression, under the dominion, under the labor, under the heaviness of criticism, and all of that is because we do not understand grace. We know grace. We know grace. Everybody knows grace, but you don't understand. If you study grace, you know it. But if you experience grace, you understand. Okay, what do I mean by that? Please, when my time up, stop me, otherwise I'll just keep going. So stop me. I don't know what time I... So stop me when my time is up. Now, let me give you a classic example. I used to give this example all the time. If a woman or a woman, let's take a woman. If a woman gynecologist, those people that are specialized in delivery, child labor, they know. They can tell you, explain to you, you know, word for word, what labor pain means. They can explain, because they have learned it, they are now consultants, they can explain to you what labor pain means. But if that woman has never had a baby before, that woman has not gone through labor pain before. My mother, who didn't go to school, I don't know if she went or not, I don't know. I don't know. With my mother, I went to school a long time ago. So if my mother, who gave birth to me, that has gone through labor pain, explains labor pain to you, it cannot be compared to the one who gave you theory. Am I making sense? Because that person has not experienced, all she's telling you is a theory of labor pain. She has never experienced it before. So she knows it, but she has not experienced it. So she may not understand it as much as my mother, who gave birth to me, will understand it. Am I making sense? That's why I commonly say, the man with an experience is never at the mercy of the person with an argument. You are never at the mercy. If you understand grace, you will never be at the mercy of anybody who is pointing fingers at you. I don't care what it was, what is you've done in your life. Amen. Let's go straight. Let's go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principle, and therefore get wisdom, and in all I get in, get understanding. Understanding is the ability to know, perceive, and apprehend. Understanding is important in to develop your spiritual nature, because it is the faculty that puts your feet, that goes under your feet and sustains your prayer. Understanding, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm still going very fast. So let me just go straight. Now, let's look at what exactly is this grace you are talking about. Let's just remind ourselves a little bit of grace in a very practical way. If you look at Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, we don't have time to read all of it, but Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, if you can take note of this note. But it says, grace gives life to the lost. Grace reveals God's riches. Grace gives God the glory it deserves. Grace prepares us for God's purpose. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is getting good things from God that we could never deserve. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. That's how some people explain it. But grace is our source of power when problems are perplexing. Grace is the spring of our tenacity when trial trips us up. Grace is the element of hope when we feel harassed and helpless. Grace is the fortifier of our faith during frustration. Grace allows us in times of trouble to look up instead of falling out. Grace is not dependent upon our actions, not because we are obedient, not because we are tithed, not because we are praying. Grace of God is given unto us because he loves us, and he is God of another chance. Our past is not relevant to receiving grace. Our transgressions will not prohibit us from receiving the grace. His grace is the result of his outpouring love for us. If you look at verse 8 and 9 of that, just verse 8, 9, and 10, I will read. That's Ephesians 2 that I just said. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of us, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Grace is the free, unmerited, undeserved favor of God towards the undeserving and the ill-deserving. Now, grace. Supposing an armed robber comes to your house. You know armed robber? Most of you in London don't know armed robber. But in Africa, we know armed robber. Armed robbers are people who come to your house with weapons. Suppose an armed robber comes to your house and to rob. And in the process of robbing, he kills your child, not your child. But he keeps your child. If you hunt him down yourself and kill him, that is vengeance. If you allow the police to do their jobs and that person is apprehended and punished, that is justice. If you take that person, that armed robber who came to rob you and kill your child in the process, and adopt that child as your son or daughter, that is grace. You say that is tough. Isn't it? It's tough. Because if somebody comes to your house, for the fact that he's coming to rob you, it's enough trouble. But if in the process he killed your child, habash, and then you take that person and adopt that person as your child, that is grace. Grace strengthens our hearts. In the Hebrews 13 verse, they say, do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. Grace strengthens our hearts. Now, I said before that if an armed robber come to your house, and you know it's an armed robber, and it's not a joking matter, and he didn't come to shake hands with you, he came into your house and he stole some things from you. In the process, kill, not beat, kill your child. And you look at this armed robber and adopt him to be your son or your daughter. That is grace. Can God do that? Can God do it?
Yes.
Has God done it before?
Yes.
You know, give me an example.
Me.
Me, you. Yes. Wonderful. Thank you, sir. Any more examples? Biblical example? No, this is not a test. This is not a test. Don't do like it's a test, okay? No, it's not a test. I'm not testing anybody. But that is what God did. I'll give an example of what God did to Saul. I'll give you a classic example. I don't have too much time. I'll give you two examples of people who understood grace and lived your life above condemnation, above criticisms of man, above the opinions of man. I am one man, I am very annoying. I'm a very annoying person because I don't care about your opinion. I don't know how to deal with my own opinion, so how am I going to deal with your opinion? Your opinion is, you're entitled to it. So if you think I'm stupid, that is correct by you. It does not affect me, no. I'm not going to fight your opinion about me. There's no way I can convince you that I'm not stupid, because in your opinion, I'm very stupid. That's fine, but that's your opinion. I can't fight your opinion. But I know I'm not. I know who I am. And so that opinion of yours, I'm not fighting. Keep it. Maintain it. If that makes you happy, go ahead. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Because of the time, we're going to run through. But follow me to the book of Acts. Do you have any way of publishing a book of Acts? Acts chapter 9. I said before that when an armed robber comes to your house to steal, bad enough that he has come to steal, and after stealing your hard-earned money and whatever property, in the process kill your child, and then you, in your magnanimity, Whatever bigger word we can use to describe that attitude, you take this person who came to kill your child, sir. You say, come, you are the one that killed my child. Instead of me handing you over to police or something, I take you into my house and make you my son. Acts chapter 9, please, let's go. Acts chapter 9, 1, verse 1. Then Saul, who became Paul, right? Saul, okay. Before he became Paul. Paul, still threatening, still breeding threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were on this way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gods. Now, if you know a little bit of it, since Saul, the Bible says, he was going from church to church, from city to city, to arrest and imprison and beat and kill Christians. That was what he was doing. And on this particular case, he was on that mission again. And if you read through that chapter, the Bible says God allowed him to go as close. He said he was close to Damascus. Damascus was where he was going to go and, you know, carry people. He was on a murder trip to go and arrest and kill those people who were talking about Jesus Christ, who are like you and I, who serve Jesus. So he was not going to pamper or going to play or going to fellowship with them. He was going to arrest and kill. And this same man whose business was killing the children of God, okay, I told you, Father, this man who came to your house and killed your son or daughter is the one we're talking about now. God caught him, sir. Jesus caught him on the way to Damascus. He allowed him to go as close as possible to Damascus. He was feeling cool. I'm nearly there. I'm going to execute my plan. As he was going close, thinking that he was really going to achieve his target. And then suddenly in the afternoon, something happened. Amen. Something happened. Okay, let's move further, quicker. We leave the other beat and then go to verse 10. See, opinion, fear. Now, verse 10 says, now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, and so that he might receive his sight. Do you understand what's happening here? I know you do. Ananias, he was doing his own thing in his home. And God is asking him to go to a place where the murderer, the world-known murderer, was. He said, go. The man at that point, after the light shone, he lost his sight. So he was blind. And God is telling you, child of God, to go to that armed robber. You know, God is sending you to go to that armed robber and pray. What is going through your mind? God, no, it's police case. No, I'm not going to, no, I'm not going. You remember, just a little bit of digression. Remember this guy that was in the fish belly, Jonah? You know the reason Jonah refused to go to where God sent him? It's because he knows that God is a very forgiving God. That if he go there to deliver the message God has sent him, those people will be saved. God will forgive them their sins. He says, so let them, they are the ones that are oppressing us. No, God, you cannot. I know that if I go, you will, by my message, save them. No, let them be in dominion. Let them suffer. There's no need. So he ran. He thought he was clever. But that's by the way. And so here was another story. So he got to Ananias, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard. I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said unto him, go, for he is his chosen. Did I hear you? God, am I deaf? Is there something wrong with me? He says, chosen. You know how sometimes we can feel very superior? You know, Christians, you know how sometimes we can feel very superior? When we are with unbelievers, we feel very superior. We do like we were the ones that died. It was Christ that died. Your pastor read one scripture in Romans. Who is he that what? Oh, you weren't listening to him when he said. Who is he that condemned? It was God. It was Christ that died. So we sometimes feel so superior to people that are not believers because we think we know what they don't know. The difference between you and that person is one sentence, one prayer. That prayer, you know what that prayer is? Accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's all. That's why you are a Christian. That is all the difference. If that person just wake up this minute and say, I accept Christ as Savior, end of story, he becomes a Christian, isn't it? Or what did you do? What else did you do to become a Christian? Did you do something? I don't know. If you did something, tell me. If you it's because of your works, that's why you are saved. We pray for you. So it's not what you did. It's the Bible says we are saved by grace through our faith. So you didn't do anything, I didn't do anything. It's just a simple statement that I made, a simple prayer that I made that transformed me from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's light. Praise the name of God. So Ananias could not comprehend, and that will be most of our case here, even here. Even as you are born again, sitting in front of me now, if they bring somebody that is a wicked or that is a criminal to you, and they say, go and pray for you, you say, no, that one faces problem. That if we are honest, if somebody has really done something to you, as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, as you are, and under my voice, under the sound of my, I'm talking to you guys now, and I'm sure, maybe one of us, two of us, but if somebody has really done you something bad, it takes the grace of God for you to forgive. But to go and free that person, say, no, Lord, let him face the law. And you are not doing anything wrong, but that is just the way life is. Amen. Somebody say, are you still happy with me? Unfortunately, you don't have a choice. Unfortunately, you don't have a choice to be happy. You have got to be happy. Amen. You don't like me, it's a cup of tea. But you're obligated to love me. Is it not? Yes? You are under obligation of the Lord to love me. But you are not under obligation of any Lord to like me. So if you don't like me, it's not an issue. You see, I have brought myself to that level where I know that your opinion, as good as it may be, doesn't matter. I have my own opinion about myself. I can't deal with it. I can't. So why would I leave my own problem? I want to add your own to mine. It's not possible. Why do you want to kill yourself trying to impress somebody who don't care about you? And that is what some of you here, listening to me, you are. That is the burden you are carrying. You are trying to impress people who don't care about you, who don't care a hoot about you. You are trying to impress them. They say, hey, if you do this, or if I do that, if I don't join them, if I say Jesus is Lord, come on now. Too heavy a burden to carry. Free yourself. I hope that after this you free yourself from that burden. So here we go. And Ananias couldn't comprehend. He said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for it is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentile kings and children of Israel. For I have... He said, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. I believe and I confirm that some of us probably would not be, maybe me inclusive, maybe I would not be alive now, but even not for the grace of God. So see, it is not what you did. God has earmarked you of his grace. God has known you from before you were born, that you are the vessel he's going to use for whatever purpose he has in mind for you. And so it is not because some of us think it's because we pray. We thank God for prayer. Some of us think because we fast. Thank God for fasting. It is not your fasting. It's not your prayers. It is God that shows mercy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because it's God that answers prayers. It's not because you pray too much. The next person suffering prays, but sometimes they pray more than you do. They give more offering more than you do. They attend service more than you do. They do all the things that you do more than you do. Yet God is favoring you. It is called the grace of God. It is not because of you. Okay, I'm not going to go. If you have time, look at it. Let me just, Luke 19. I won't read it now. I'll just tell you the story. The Bible says Jesus was going to Jerusalem. Amen. He was going to Jerusalem. Oh, and I'm even read it for you. Hallelujah. Man, they was kahara for you. Luke 19. And they brought him to Jesus. They cast the garment. There was a court tied, and Jesus was entering into the city. Right? He was entering the city, so they went and brought a coat that was tied, nobody has used, and Jesus wanted to use the coat, so they brought the coat, and then when they brought the coat, they put him on top of it, and then as he was going, the ladies, thank God for ladies, they began to lay their wrapper on the floor and their dresses on the floor, you know, so that the horse or the coat, yeah, you want to do, thank you, Thank you. Amen. So they laid their clothes on the floor so that Jesus can enter the city. Now, follow me carefully. If I am on top of the horse, yeah? All right. And the horse is carrying me, and the horse is here. This is the cloth. Whose feet are touching the cloth? Who? But the cloth was laid for Jesus. But whose feet are on the cloth? The horse. Wouldn't it be stupid if the horse began to think that the cloth was laid for him? Now tell me, Jesus' feet did not touch the clothes that were laid on the floor, but it was laid for him. Yeah? It was laid because of him, not because of the cloth, but it was the cloth that was stepping on the cloth. So it would be stupid for the horse, for the cloth to think that all the cloth that was there was laid for him. So it will be stupid of you too if you think because God has used you, it is because of you. God gives you small revelation, you think you have arrived. You pray for somebody, the person got healed, you think you are the healer. And you want to start a ministry, minister of healing. We do that, don't we? Yes? Because God gave you small opportunity to be used of him. Because he used you to do his work, you think you are proper, or you think you are something else. And that is what we think. We prayed for somebody, the person got healed. Ah! What if you raise the dead? Nobody will hear anything. You go around raising the dead ministry. That is what we do as Christians. And we think it's about us. There's nothing God does that is about you. If God has increased your wages and you're living in a big house, it's not because you, and you are selfish to think that because he gave you a big house, you alone will stay there. Let me step on toes now. He has given you, you are prosperous in your business, you have a lot of money, and you brought the fattest tight. Oh, I'm stepping on somebody's toe, I don't know why, but I'm going to step it anyway. Maybe you see somebody bringing 1 pound as tight or 10 pounds as tight, and you bring 1,000 pounds, and you think 1 pound tight and 1,000 tight, which one is bigger? Huh? Why? Don't be deceived. Tight is 10%. So 1,000, 10, they are the same 10%. Do we understand? Don't let anybody kid you. My tithe is fatter. Your tithe is... Don't let me go there. Because, listen. When you are earning 100 pounds, you want to give 10 pounds, it's easy. When you are earning 10,000 pounds, to bring how much? It becomes a struggle. Sometimes you say, it's too much. Let me just give church. 5. It's supposed to be 10. You are given 5. And you think your tithe is bigger. Your tithe is not. You are robbing. Let's not even go there. Let's go back. Let's mind our business. Let's mind our business. Amen. And so, if you understand, because I don't know about my time. My time could be running so fast. So let me just go. Let me give an example of two people who understood grace. And they were operating under grace. Two people, because my time is rolling and I don't want to take too much of your time. I want to ask, they say, Bible, I always quote this scripture, let all things be done decently and in order. So I want to do things decently and in order so that I don't offend. Hallelujah. So that my friend will invite me back some other time. Hey, hallelujah. So let's take our first example. David. We know King David, don't we? King David. Is my time up already? Second Samuel, I'm going to paraphrase now because time is good. I'm going to paraphrase now. Second Samuel. You know, in First Samuel, David was anointed king, right? Yes. And when Samuel, the prophet, went to Jesse's house to anoint his son, a king for him, the Bible says the prophet, not anybody, the prophet that God spoke to went to Jesse's house and he saw Eliab the first son. He said, this is the guy. Come on now. Forget about that one. That's not the one. But anyway, eventually they brought all his children and David was still missing. And then God said, the man said, is there anyone left? And they went and brought David. Now, so they brought David. And David, you know, these things that happen in this life, when it happens to you, you think it's happening to only you. David was not the same mother with David's mom was not legally married, you know that. So, but David was a son, is a son. So when it was time to anoint, they forgot David. How is it when your father forget your very father, you know, forget you? I think that you are not, your brothers think you are not qualified to be part of this party. You say, this is for the elite only. And so you are forgotten. But God, no more. And God made them to bring David and made him king. And after David was anointed king, you know how much fight he had to fight with King Saul before he could become king. And eventually, he was running from pillar to post everywhere until eventually David became king. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 6, we read the story, how David. They say, Bible says, King David danced before, they were bringing the ark of God back. And as we were bringing the ark of God, the Levites were playing the music. They call it whatever name, psalmist and all of that. They were playing music and David was dancing, 2 Samuel, and he was dancing. And then the Bible says, at some point, he got close to his house. His wife, who happened to be Saul's daughter, saw him dancing. The Bible says he was not wearing his clothes. He was wearing the ephod that priests wear. And he was there. He was not naked. He was just wearing his scanty clothes, the ephod that priests wear. And he was dancing happily because the ark of God was coming home. And so he was dancing. The wife saw him and disdained him. The Bible says the wife disdained him. And the wife mocked him, the Bible says. And he said to her, you have no idea. He said, you have no idea. He said, you have no idea. He went to her and said, listen, you are laughing at me that I'm dancing naked and, you know, humiliating myself in the presence of these maidens. He said, let me tell you, survivors, maybe you don't know, it was in the place of your father. Let me talk in the Nigerian way. In the place of you. he said, you don't understand. When they came to anoint somebody in my father's house, even my father forgot me. My brothers didn't think I qualified. I was in any way qualified to be king. I was looking after the goats in the farmyard. I was there. Nobody remembered me. But God saw more than they saw. And so God made me. They brought me out of the farm. And I was anointed. Even after I was anointed, you don't know. I'm dancing before God and you are talking about, you don't know how your father made me to run from pillar to post, from one cave to another, from one forest to another forest. You don't know how much I've said. You don't understand. He said, it is this God who didn't allow your father to kill me. It is this same God who removed your father and made me king. I'm dancing before this man. And you are saying, he had proper understanding of grace. He could not allow anybody to humiliate me. That's David. Now, let's look at our popular friend quickly. How many time have I have? Time up. Okay. I told you. But see, let me give you this example, and then we'll go. Saul, I'm going to say into the Bible now. I'll tell you the story. Paul was going to Jerusalem. And as we were going to Jerusalem, The Bible says, there's one prophet, Agabus, prophet, came and took his clothes, and he used the clothes to his girdle to wrap his hands and his feet. And he said, the owner of this thing, when he got to Jerusalem, the people there will hold him, bind him, and jail him. Now, that was from the mouth of the prophet. So the people that were with him, what did they do? They begged him, please don't go. Please don't, there's trouble waiting for you in Jerusalem. Don't go. Saul said, you don't understand. If you understand like I understand, you will not be telling me this. He said, I was one of those murderers. I did not qualify to be anything. I did not qualify to be anything. It was God's mercy that saved me. He said, I'm not only talking about being, being tied or in prison. I'm ready also to die. By the way, and he said, I don't even have any life to live anymore. He said, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It is the life that I now live. I live by the grace of the Son of God who died for me, who loved me and died for me. You don't know where I'm coming from. You don't know. He said, all this cry, thank God for crying. Thank God for your concerns. Thank God for your opinions. Thank God for even trying to make me change my mind. Grace, understand, if you understand the grace of God that is upon your life, that Christ did for you, side of God, you will not allow anybody to talk down on you. You will not like anybody's opinion to bother you. You will not suffer under the burden of opinions and condemnation. Nobody can condemn you because you know it is not, it's none of me anymore. My life is nothing. My life is all Christ. It has taken over. But there is nothing I have to defend. There is nothing I have to hide. God knows me. This is who I am. Everything about me is Him. Nothing concerns me. I am dead already in Christ Jesus. And therefore, the songwriter says, see how far you've brought me. I am glad you found me worthy. You see, I can see, I can tell, and I know that it is your grace all my days. And I will sing your praise.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.